My name is Michael Garland. I'm on the product team at Alchemy. Happy last day of DevCon. Thanks for showing up for the late talk. Super excited to talk about this. I think it's one of the most frustrating things for a lot of smart contract developers, a lot of people building on Ethereum. Seems super simple at the onset, but it's really not the case. So hopefully we'll talk through today, background on nonces, what they are, problems they cause, and then a few ways we can start to handle them and start to solve those frustrations. A little background on Alchemy before we get started, for those of you who don't know. No worries if you don't, we've been very quiet, building things for about 2 years in the blockchain space, but no PR marketing. We've been powering blockchain infrastructure for a bunch of awesome companies, like Augur, ZeroX, CryptoKitties, building developer tools on top of that. The main goal is really, we want to help developers focus on the things that matter, building out their IP, growing their user bases. And so have really been working, lucky enough to work with some awesome folks in doing that. So now, let's start from the nonset. Disclaimer, there will be a lot of nonce-based puns in this presentation. So what is this nonsense? When we talk about Ethereum nonces, there are really two things we're talking about. Number one is nonces for miners. This is the way they win block awards, incrementing this nonce to win the cryptographic puzzle, kind of proof-of-work concept I'm sure most of you are familiar with. The other thing is for applications for end users, when you're submitting transactions, you need to submit them with a nonce. It's basically a counter of the number of transactions that are confirmed from the address that you're submitting them from. It's basically the way that you're able to send writes to the network. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I don't know too much about the miner side. I spent a lot of time with developers figuring out stuff on the application side and end user side. So that's what we're going to dig in. So you can start with four simple order nonces. Number one, if you're starting from scratch, super easy. Your nonce is zero. That's great. Really straightforward. From then, it doesn't get too much more difficult. You just increment by one. It's a counter. Straightforward. You all know what I'm talking about. The rules that sort of get interesting are what happens if things go wrong. So if your nonce is too low, you know right away it's not too big a deal. The node will reject it. Your request will fail. It'll say nonce too low, so you can pretty easily increment and resubmit. Where it gets interesting is if the nonce is too high, your transaction will basically sit around in the mempool. It won't get mined. It'll sit there until basically your nonce counter catches up, which in a lot of cases is hard to do because you as a human are not sitting there looking at the nonces that are happening, so your application tends to just stall. The other problem is, so we have two main purposes for nonces. Digging into why they exist in the first place. One is for ordering of transactions. The other is to prevent certain kinds of attacks. So on the ordering side, a simple example, let's say you have a smart contract building out a decentralized social network. You want to be able to do things like create users, have them friend people, decommission accounts if you want. On the left is what's intended. A user creates a new account, they friend somebody, sometime later on they delete their account. On the right is kind of what can happen if you don't have proper ordering. And really, nonces are the way that this is ensured in the Ethereum world. And as you imagine, the right side, everything's going to fail. You're going to end up with outright failures for one and two. Number three, the user ends up with an account when they don't expect one. So nonces are really important here. Then there's the attack side. So simple payment example with nonces. Without nonces, if Alice tries to pay Bob one ETH, Bob can basically grab that transaction and send it as many times as he wants because there's nothing to distinguish the legitimate transaction from the bad one. And so the outcome here is Bob, via something called a replay attack, can basically just repeat this transaction over and over until Alice has more money and Bob has profited massively. With nonces, Alice submits that same original transaction with a nonce, let's say number 7. When a miner gets Alice's actual transaction and the counterfeit one, doesn't really matter which one is mined. Both of them will result in the same thing, which is that Bob gets money from Alice. But when the second one is attempted to be mined, it sees that the nonce is still 7. It expects the nonce to be 8 now, so that transaction fails, and you can't kind of like repeat this malicious attack over and over. All these things lead us to whatever he does, the non-secret formula dealing with nonces. So you start with the question, is this your first nonce? If so, your nonce is zero, you're good to go, no problems there. If not, if you're keeping track of your nonce, if you know how many transactions you've sent, you're also good to go. So if you sent 10 transactions, awesome, your nonce is 10. If not, no worries, there's a backup plan. You can call something like get transaction count pending. The result is your nonce. Super simple, rinse and repeat. Your application is well functioning. You're off and profiting. What could possibly go wrong? As it turns out, a lot can go wrong. So as we start to dig in here, let's go in on one of these exact steps. So number two, you know the number of transactions you have. That's supposed to be your nonce. That's what a nonce means. So you should have that nonce. Turns out, it's not actually going to be done all the time. Probably isn't. A lot of times it's going to fail on you. The reason here is that most applications are sending multiple transactions at a time, so they intend for multiple transactions to appear in a single block. And when you do that, you're submitting them with incrementing nonces. Let's say from 0 to n in this case. So the question is, what happens if one of those nonces fails? So the second transaction with nonce 1. We went over this earlier. When nonces have, when there's a transaction with a nonce that's too high, it hangs. And since there's no transaction that's succeeded with nonce 1 at this point, all of your other transactions are hanging. Effectively, nothing is broadcast or mined.
What do you mean by transaction failure?
So there are a couple of ways this can happen. Some that are outright failures, some that are not. Like the most common way this happens is also a bunch of transactions. One won't have high enough gas, for instance, so it never gets broadcast. So failure in this case means failure to be properly broadcast and mined, or in some cases more outright failures. So as you remember from our algorithm earlier, you have a backup plan. You can call get transaction count pending. So no worries, it's failed. You have another plan. Problem is, this also fails a huge chunk of the time for a completely different reason. So this is more of an architectural reason. Most apps who are building on Ethereum need to scale beyond a single node. When you're running multiple nodes, in the web server world, you use a load balancer, nice and straightforward. Turns out when you do that with Ethereum, things start to break pretty quickly. A lot of people we talk to when they're building out their in-house infrastructure, this is exactly what they do. A lot of third-party APIs build things in this way. It makes managing nonces much, much harder. So a quick example here, we're firing off a bunch of transactions. They're each getting routed to one of the many nodes behind our load balancer. And then when I go to call get transaction count pending to update my nonce, what happens is this also gets routed to only one of the three nodes. And I get three different nonces depending on where exactly my query gets routed to. So there's this kind of inconsistency problem. The one consistent thing here is that none of these nonces are correct. The nonce should be three. So in all these cases, you're actually failing. This is a bit of a race condition, so eventually these transactions will propagate to the other nodes behind this load balancer, so if you wait, retry, eventually it might work, so that's one way of handling this, but it's not super super well functioning for applications that have like latency concerns. So then there's another concern here that makes this even more difficult to deal with. Get and parity actually define pending differently. This takes a lot of people a long time to find out, and when they do, it's usually after probably a week of really frustrating debugging. So get, when they talk about pending, it's basically anything in the mempool. So if you submit a transaction, it hasn't been mined yet, it's considered pending. With parity, there's actually this idea of like a virtual pending block. So it's things that the node thinks will be mined in the next block on the network. So it's only a subset of the things that gets considered pending. Which means that you might actually end up with the wrong node, the wrong nonce for parity when you would have otherwise gotten the right one from get. So to update our example here, it's very likely that if these nodes were parity instead, you'd get zero in all cases. So again, things are not working. There are other things that are going on here that make this, again, more complicated. Things like race conditions. There's no issue on parity where if you submit a transaction and then call next nonce or get transaction count very quickly, you don't actually get the right nonce. So things are constantly happening. It's a pretty complicated problem, so things break apart and eventually get fixed. So we've got two points of contention, a few steps that theoretically work, but only sometimes. But actually not, this is the one case, like the only nonce you can ever be really confident about a lot of the time is with nonce zero. You can start out confidently and it's only from there you think that it gets complicated. But there are a lot of other things that can go wrong. So the things we talked about already, there's also problems with multiple services managing the same address. When nodes restart, the mempool can get cleared, which can affect nonces. Chaining organizations have a huge impact on this. So there's a lot to worry about as a developer when it comes to this simple counter that seems like it would be really easy to get started with. So what do we do? like how do we actually start the analyst problem? One thing is wait for ETH 2.0. I don't think that's the right solution. I'm guessing a lot of people in this room have applications they're building right now. They have users. They need a solution for this in the short term. And waiting for Hill is not going to do that right away. So let's start on the road to dominance. Step one is really know your infrastructure. It doesn't seem like an API call like this, or kind of like the traditional ways of handling this should depend on infrastructure, but they actually do. So you should know, is your in-house system load balancing nodes? Is the API you're using doing that? If it is, you can still make this work. It's just going to be a little bit harder, and you need to have this in the back of your mind when you're building things out and considering how to handle nonces. The other thing is, do you have access to pending state? So nonces are effectively the way that pending state becomes mind state. So being able to see what's pending, what's dropped, all these kind of things is going to be really, really helpful. Some services don't allow you to do that. If you're running your own nodes, you probably can, so you're in good shape. And then, are you running Gecko Parity? So one thing for people who are using Parity, it is a super quick switch to use Parity Next Nonce instead of Get Transaction Pending. Behaves like you would expect it to, so it'll work in the same way that Get Pending Transactions will. So number two is know your transactions. This is basically a understand your use case. So depending on what you're doing with those transactions, ordering might matter, the number of transactions, transaction throughput might matter, latency, all these kinds of things. So you need to kind of like understand your use case to know how you're going to approach the nonces. And then one kind of plea I have is consider this kind of thing earlier on in smart contract development. Like there are trade-offs in doing this. I think a lot of people don't end up hitting nonce problems until things are deployed. They have users. Users start complaining, or their own developers do. So start to think through these problems early, and you'll have a better time later on. So as far as actual solutions, number one is maintaining the nonce state is super, super helpful. That way you can minimize your dependency on these API calls that tend to have their own set of problems. You can store a nonce as a single atomic counter, put in something like Redis, all of your services can access it, increment it, you're doing pretty well. And then if you need to, when you're restarting things, you can use those API calls to get the transaction count and kind of see things to begin with. The next is you can use no-op fillers. So this is a way of handling the kind of like hanging transactions problem. So let's say we submit 5 transactions all at once with incrementing nonces. Things are going well initially, they're getting mined successfully, and then eventually one fails. Like we talked about before, the next two would hang. What we can do is basically create what's called a no-op, a zero-way transfer to our own address, submit that with the same nonce as the nonce that the transaction that failed, as a really quick way of jump-starting the system. Again, this is pretty use case dependent because it means that your transactions can't be dependent on ordering, like we talked about earlier. But if you don't have that requirement, then it's a really solid way to keep things kind of well functioning. Some other things, just quickly run down the list since this is a 20-minute talk. Meta transactions, I don't have a ton of experience with, but I've heard good things about. If ordering is really important for you, you can basically batch a bunch of operations into a single transaction and have a smart contract kind of distribute them effectively. Using one transaction per address per block, this is basically the idea of like you submit one transaction and you wait for it to be mined until you submit another transaction. That's not going to work for a lot of people because it is very slow, but if you care about minimizing failures much more than minimizing latency, then this might work for your use case. There's also the idea of isolating addresses. So one of the things that gets complicated here is a bunch of services using the same address, which are all incrementing nonces, which makes this entire world much more complicated to deal with. If you isolate each service to use its own address, you can kind of make life much easier for yourself and prevent things from stomping on each other. Another one, reach out to us. We're super, super happy to help. This is something we've helped with on like a use case specific basis for a lot of our users. Again, like a lot of this is super use case dependent. We're happy to think through these things with you. So let us know if you're running into nonce problems. We're happy to talk through a lot of the best cases we've talked through. And then finally, open source. Talked to a lot of people this week that are tackling exactly this problem. With some really cool output, some guys at Bloom, gave a talk on it earlier. Really cool stuff. Contribute, pay attention, and hopefully we can all solve these problems together. Thanks.